one of the things that I see entrepreneurs doing is their schedules are booked out because everything depends on them physically being the voice and the person showing up. But what I realized was so many of the things that we are helping give transformations to the person on the other end, whether it's a Zoom call or whether it's in person, we can record and get them a great win. And then just give them, like, I like the course with a group coaching type aspect so that they still have that personal touch, but they can watch the videos and get the transformations while you're asleep or while you're on vacation.
Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us again on the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast. I am very excited to introduce my guest, Kara Williams. Kara, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you because I think, you know, this is a topic that we haven't really covered on the show. And so it's going to be interesting for you to share your story and your journey of what got you here. And then obviously talk about what you do and how that applies to visibility. So I'd love for you to share your story and what it is that you do.
Yeah. So back when my kids were little, I was a stay-at-home mom and I knew, like, I always loved to work. And so I thought I've got to do something to keep my hands busy. And so I actually started an Etsy shop, which I think a lot of us entrepreneurs, like, that's kind of how we dabbled in it.
Yeah.
So I started the Etsy shop and I did a lot of crafting type things. And one thing led to another. And when we lived in Ohio, I owned a paint studio. So I had ladies come in and paint. So I've always been a very creative entrepreneur. But one of the things that I always found myself doing is my entrepreneur friends that were also creatives were like, I can't do my tech. So who does your tech? I'm like, well, I do my tech. And they're like, well, can you do my tech too? And so I found myself kind of crossing over back and forth. And I realized that one of the things I love to do is use both sides of my brain to create beautiful websites and landing pages and courses and all the things. And so I kind of just landed in this tech business, but I love it because now I get to help people launch beautiful things without having to hire a graphic designer and, you know, all of those things. I can teach them to do them themselves. So
yeah. And
I just
I love your name for yourself, Tech Simplifier.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we really want. We want tech to be simple.
Yeah. Yeah. And talk about some of the importance of simplifying the tech, but also, like, there's so many tech tools out there, but there's ways to, or platforms out there that you can simplify that even more by putting it all in one place, and how that really helps business owners too, to, you know, not have to worry about, you know, this platform, this login, that login, and all of those things. So I'd love for you to talk just a little bit about simplifying and bringing everything under one roof, if you will.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, I had a subscription box and I was using WordPress for my website, and you have to use plugins with WordPress. So I had gotten this plugin, and, you know, one of the things you need to do when you're selling something online is have order bumps and, you know, upsells and things like that. That's one of the funnel trainings that, you know, you always go through when you start really diving into funnels. So I had a Flowdesk for my email. I had WordPress. I was about to launch a course. And so I was going to get to Kajabi. I had InstaChamp, which is like ManyChat. And then and I had Metricool for my social scheduler. So, I mean,
oh my
I was
gosh.
Paying like, I don't know, a lot every single month. And it was devastating. So let me tell you what happened. So I only launched every 3 months. It was a quarterly product. So I was so excited. I ramped up and I had built this new upsell for my box. And I launched it. And everyone that did not purchase the upsell got double charged for the actual product.
Oh no.
A customer service nightmare. It was only me. Like, it was like, oh my goodness. So anyway, after that, I came across a platform. It's called Social Connector, which is a white label of the high level platform.
Yeah.
And I met the guy that owns it, and he's an amazing guy. And I knew, like, it's a big platform. It does everything in one. And I was gonna need some help figuring it out. So I went with a white label. So I ended up taking 2 weeks. I turned all of my notifications off and I built under this one platform. And
Yeah.
I'm just gonna tell you the fact that I can create all of my websites. I mean, I can have as many domains as you want, and every domain points to a different offer, but yet they all funnel into the same back end.
Yeah.
Having my emails, my CRM, my social media scheduler, everything all right there is phenomenal. And the fact that it's only $97 a month. I mean, I always laugh and say, I can run a Russell Brunson type business with a $97 platform. Like, it doesn't
Yeah.
get any better than that. So,
Well, and one of the other things that you can do within that platform is create courses. And I
yes.
know that's a huge product that you sell and that you work with people on. So let's talk about why courses are so important. Maybe people who haven't considered courses, why they should consider doing a course. I'd love to hear your perspective.
Well, and I'll tell you one side note is what I love about that the particular platform that we use is you're not charged by the number of people that you have. You're not charged by the number of courses or products that you have. So you have unlimited. And I know when I was looking at Kajabi, it was like 149 a month for three up to three products. And I know
Yeah.
that price just recently went up. So what I've found is once I teach someone to launch one course, they normally want to launch another and
Yeah.
then another and then another. It's addicting once you get, because you're like, man, there's so many things I could teach on. So yeah, one of the things that I see entrepreneurs doing is their schedules are booked out because everything depends on them physically being the voice and the person showing up. But what I realized was so many of the things that we are helping give transformations to the person on the other end, whether it's a Zoom call or whether it's in person, we can record and get them a great win. And then just give them, like, I like the course with a group coaching type aspect so that they still have that personal touch,
Yeah.
but they can watch the videos and get the transformations while you're asleep or while you're on vacation.
Yeah.
And so I see a lot of entrepreneurs, like, they're capped out at their income because their income is dependent on them being in the room when they could easily turn those things into courses and help people get transformations all the time.
Yeah. So how do you help like an entrepreneur coming to you saying, I know I'd like to do a course. I want to do a course, but I don't know where to start. Like what do I even teach on, right? I mean, I'm sure that there are multiple things, like you said, that they're doing that could be transitioned into a course, but how do you help them identify maybe like which one to pick or where what lane to go in, where to start? Like all of those things, I think, may be potential things that hold them back from starting a course because they don't even know, like, what is it that I'm doing that could be turned into that course?
Yeah, 100%. Excuse me. So I do a workshop, a free workshop. Right now I'm doing it weekly. That kind of changes depending on the season. But that's one of the very first things we talk about. Like, I give them on in that hour, we go from taking whatever's in your brain and we outline the entire thing so that when you leave, you have a 14-day launch plan with all of your modules, all of your lessons, and any resources you need to make. So we always start at this beginning spot because people are like, either A, they have a million things that they know they could teach on,
Yeah.
or B, they don't have the confidence that what they're doing in person can actually be turned into a course. So we kind of break down, like, what does that transformation that you're getting your current clients look like? What does everyone come to you for? What are you
Yeah.
known for? Let's start there. And so that's kind of what we normally do. And then we break it down by what all they need to do. And I'm going to tell you, some of the blocks, like, it's amazing to me the things that hold people up, because I'm an executor. Like, and that sounds like a terrible term, because I go to like crime documentaries when I think that. But like, if you ask any of my friends, my business besties, like, what am I known for? Like, I'm known for getting stuff done. Like, I'll have an idea and then I go execute on that idea, like a quick action taker. And so it amazed me when I started doing the research as to what people, like, what was holding them back. And it's things like, I don't have the right studio setup. I need better equipment. I don't know how to record hour-long lessons. And I think that, if your value for your course is based on the amount of time, minutes that your videos are in, and
Interesting.
how, and it's not true. There's so many things that I'm like, man, you can get somebody a transformation by using your phone to record.
Yeah, that's so true. People don't think about that. Even like in podcasting, people think like, well, I've got to have the mic, I've got to have the studio to do a podcast. And there's plenty of people out there who record on their phone and they're very successful at it. So it's like, don't let that barrier hold you back. Or, you know, it's almost like the imperfect start, right? Like, what is it? Done is better than perfect, right? So you got to kind of think of it from that perspective too. So I love that, you know, but there's so many of us out there who either in one way or another will hold ourselves back because of that. Oh, I think I should have this kind of thing.
Well, and another thing is, it's already been done. I hear people say that. Well, somebody already has a course on that. And I'm here to tell you, somebody can have a course on that, but I'm not going to relate to that person as well as I'm going to relate to you. Like,
So
you're
true.
going to have those people that are naturally drawn to you if you do a great job marketing. And we're in a world, you know this, where like, you've got to show your face. You've got to show the face behind the brand.
You know, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about, 'cause I mean, as you said, you map out this, I think you said 14-day launch plan, right? And so I think maybe one thing I'd love to hear is there a formula or a best practice when you're putting together a course? Does it have to be long videos? Does it have to be a mix of video and written forms? Does it have to have handouts? Like, is there like a specific formula that you have found to be the most successful, or what you teach on maybe?
So what I teach is, you use as few words as possible. You use as few resources as possible to get that transformation. What is the minimum that someone has to do to get that transformation? Because once you start adding extra things in, while a workbook and all of these things sound great, if they overwhelm your client and they don't finish, you're not going to get referrals. You're not going to get those testimonials. So I want you to dumb it down and figure out, what do I need to do to move my client from here to here? Like, I had somebody, she's in my 14-day program, and the very first thing I tell them to do is, and we talk about this on the in the free workshop, I'm like, listen, the day that you should have started marketing your course was yesterday. The next best day is today. And so, as
Love
soon
that.
as they get into the portal, I have a GPT that I a custom GPT I created to help them with pre-launch content. And so I followed up with one of my students, and I was like, "Hey, I just wanted to, touch base and see how your content is going." And she goes, and she sent me some pieces, and they were good. She's showing her face. She's doing the work, but there are no captions. There is no hook. There's no call to action. And so I said, "Hey, just a little bit of feedback, like, you're doing an amazing job following, what you're supposed to be doing and showing up and all the things, but these little tweaks will make your content stand out and also will get you more views, because, somebody laying in bed at night can't play the recording or the sound." And she goes, "Well, I don't know how to do that." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, let me create a resource, walk you through it, and show you how." And afterwards, she was like, "Oh my gosh, you made that so easy." And I'm like, "That's it. It really can be that easy." So I just, simple is always better.
Is there like, what do you see as the most common like number of lessons, or you know, is it 10 lessons, or again, is just depend on the type of content.
It depends on the type of content. For example, after that meeting with that client, I thought, I'm going to record a mini course. And a mini course is usually 2 to 5 lessons max. But I mean, if you can get it done in one or two, normally the first one is you're welcome and you set the expectations. And then you provide any resources that they need. And then I say, your next lesson is, okay, now we're going to dig in. And so if you're able to do it in two modules, hey, guess what? They're going to be able to probably consume that course in less than an hour, and they're going to think you're the best thing in the world. So, like a mini course, I like to say is like 2 to 5 modules. And then you've got your like standard course, which is usually 5 to 10 modules. And then you've got your signature, which it can be as many modules as you need. So I launched in the fall last year a 14-module course with multiple lessons, a huge workbook. I think it was over 80 pages. And I did it in a few hours every night after I finished with my kids. So I did it in the 14 days. And so that was kind of where my launch plan came from is listen, if I could, I know we're all busy, but the only way to get unbusy and is to pause and create a resource that's going to help you sell when you're not in the room. And so I'm like, I'm going to go first and do it. And then I'm going to show you how to do it.
I love that. Lead by example, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about how courses lead towards or lend towards visibility. Because I think, as we're here talking about visibility, I think this is a resource that would be advantageous to add to your business to help you amplify your visibility.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, a lot of times a course is a lead-in to a higher ticket. So it's a lead-in to work with you at a higher level. And that's what I see a lot of times my students do is they get clients that come in and they get this taste of, oh my gosh, this person can help me. And then they end up hiring them for a higher ticket, which then again replaces a lot of those smaller one-on-ones that they were doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things I like to tell my students is when you're launching that course and then after that course is launched, my goal for you is you're going to talk about it every day from now until you don't want to sell it again. And that doesn't have to be you physically showing up every day doing a talking head video or, you know, you can schedule out content. You can take those testimonials that you get from the transformations that A, you've got in your client in person or in the course, and you can schedule those pieces of content so that you don't have to be on all the time, but you do have to show up. And so I think it kind of forces you to be more visible because you're like, okay, I've got this resource that I don't have to be present for it to help someone. Let me go talk about it. Let me go post about it.
And I think, courses also not only enhance your visibility, but build your authority, thought leadership, right? And positions you as the expert in a certain topic or area. And so, like you said, using that as a lead-in to either speaking opportunities, higher ticket clients is such a new perspective to lead into, because I don't think it's something that most people, when they're starting their business, they're thinking of like, okay, here's my offers. This is what I'm going to do. Usually courses are not on that list. And so thinking outside of the box is a new way to build a lead magnet from a course, can set you apart in a whole new way.
Yeah, and you think about those mini courses I was talking about. You can take one of those mini courses and you can drop it immediately after your lead magnet. And then that lead magnet turns into revenue because people, okay, she's got this. Wow, this looks amazing. Yeah, I want to do this instead. So there's so many ways. And a lot of times I tell my clients if they're going to make a signature course, make all of those assets very strategically. So make those like welcome intro videos for each of your modules meaty enough that they could be part of a mini course, that you
Oh,
could
that's a great
literally
idea.
pull those and make that a mini course that leads into, hey, do you
The
want the whole
signature.
thing?
Yeah, great
Yeah.
idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what about like, okay, so obviously marketing falls into play with courses, right? So when do you start marketing a course? Is it before it's built? Is it while you're building? Is it after it's built? Is it while it's in
So
your brain and you're thinking about building it?
all of the above. Honestly, the longer your roadway, the more success you're going to have, especially when you're just when you have that thought of, I want to do a course. I tell people, guess what? Now's the time. You grab your phone and you make a quick video and you tell in your stories. Oh my gosh, guess what I decided to do today? I'm going to create a course. And then you start asking your audience, if you were going to, sign up for a course about this, like what would you want me to include? What are the questions you have about that? Because
Yeah.
your audience will help you build the course that they want.
So true.
You just have to ask them.
So true. I mean, it's like, marketing, there's the sooner you market, the better, right? And the consistent you are, the more consistent you are, the more clear you are on who your audience is and what you serve, the more successful you're going to be. So, yeah, absolutely. As soon as it's a thought in your brain, it should be something that you start using in your marketing.
Yep.
I love
Yeah, and
that.
I mean, using those questions, I like to tell my clients too, all of those questions give you more content to create. I think
Yeah.
when we think about what we are as entrepreneurs, like you're literally a content creator. Like that's what you are on day in and day out. And there's sometimes we're like, man, what do I even talk about today? Guess what? If people are answering those questions and they're saying things, that's more content. Those are ideas for when you're like, I got no clue what to say today. You got a whole list.
You just gave it to me, all the questions you were asking. It's perfect. One of the last things I want to touch on is you talked about layering in a community with a course. So how do you, when you launch a course and maybe it's, something that people come in at different times, do you keep the community as a container for evergreen, right? So that they can be there, or is it timely with a certain launch? How do you nurture that community? What's some of the tips that you give your clients around the community aspect with the course?
So there are a few different things. Like for many courses, I never suggest a community. For those, and those are always lower ticket. When you get into the bigger courses, like the one that I'm running right now, is they're in a 60-day container, but they get lifetime access to the material. So they're going to get lifetime access to all the call recordings from here on out, but you get 60 days of focused interaction with me. So weekly calls, Voxer access, and that kind of thing. That they can stay in the community and ask questions and help other people because you want those people. And I don't really like to do what do they call them? Is it cohort? Is that
Oh,
where you
okay.
like? Yeah, I don't really like to do those because I really like to have people that are at different levels because what
Supporting.
naturally happens is like they bring each other up to their level and they can relate in a different way than they relate to me. And there's something to be said, I think, about when you are able to answer someone else's question and you're still in a coaching group and still being trained yourself. It gives you this whole different confidence, and now you feel even more equipped to do that thing that you signed up to do. And so I just think you have to kind of look at what type of program you're launching. It has to be sustainable for you. So I know for me, I'm not going to give somebody a year-long Voxer access unless they're paying a high ticket because I'm going to have to service them for an entire year. At that level, I want to be able to service them very intentionally to help them get their goal done. So like it's a 14-day sprint, but they get 60 days of access because I know things happen. Like my son got injured earlier in the year. All of my priorities kind of shifted. I needed that extra time. So it's one of those, listen, you can use that however you want. If you want 14 days of, hey, let's get it done, and then I want you to help me with my marketing. Fabulous. So it's in there. So I think you really have to be intentional when you think about what is the transformation your client is trying to get. How can you help them get that without enabling them and giving them too much access, but getting them that transformation?
Exactly. Yeah, very, very good point for sure. Okay, so last question. Sorry, just came to mind.
No, it's
I
okay.
think this is something that maybe people listening are thinking. How do you price your courses? And is there a structure or best practice for pricing your courses?
Yeah, so this is another thing we cover in that workshop. I'm telling you, that hour-long workshop is like, it is meaty, and I don't do a replay because people don't get the same results if they come to the replay because they're like, you're working while we're on that call. But I like to say, a mini course can be as low as $7. You see a lot of people use these mini courses as a tripwire after their lead magnet. And if you don't know what that is, that's a freebie that then leads to a page that says, hey, before you go, would you like XYZ? You've already got this sent to your email, So I would just say it can be as low as $7. It can go, I like to say around 97 is where I usually stop mini courses. And then the next level usually starts there. So a regular course I normally say is between 97 and 497, and then my signature course is going to go for more. Now, if you're adding in group access and Voxer access and things like that, where you're committing more, then you have to factor in your time and then charge accordingly.
Perfect. I think that's exactly what people needed to hear. What's that range? How do I fall into that range and where do I gauge it? So the natural next question, how do people learn about your 14-day sprint?
Yes. So I will have a link. I'll send you a link where they can get signed up. And right now it is live. In the future, it will probably go to evergreen, just so everybody's aware. I don't know when you'll listen to this. You can also go at any point to helpmekara.com, find out, all the different things that are going on, past courses, things like that. So any questions, they can go there, but you can get signed up for the workshop, and I'll give you that link so they can get their ticket.
Awesome. And tell us again, what's your website they can visit?
It's helpmekara.com.
Perfect. All right. Well, Kara, it has been fabulous talking to you. Like I said, we haven't had anyone on yet talking about courses and the importance of using a course for visibility. So I appreciate you coming on as an expert to talk about this and open up the perspective for our listeners for the opportunities that are out there.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I think a lot of people think it's overwhelming, and it does not have to be. So just do it, friends.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you.